Hello, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. We are on sabbatical until the end of January. But first this, if you listen to this program, you know that occasionally we will point out that God has an interest in the justice or the injustice of governments. We must use God's law to limit the tyranny of governments. At least that's our position, but that's highly unpopular with many modern Christians today. Some would be horrified to think that governments might be restricted to God's laws, and that God's laws might provide an equitable view of justice when it comes to the civil magistrate. Well, this also demonstrates the gradual weakening and apostasy among the modern Christian Western world. That's why I compiled this little book, Keep the Faith, on the Family and Sexuality. We have done extensive research on what the church fathers and reformers and the most important Christian leaders in the church over 2,000 years say about the application of God's law to the civil government. You see, we don't stand alone here. You would be surprised what the Christian church has said about applying Leviticus 18 and 20 to the present day. With Christian leaders now endorsing incest, polygamy, homosexuality, homosexual marriage, isn't it time we find out what the last 2,000 years of the Christian church said about God's law applied to these areas? Are you curious now? Do you want to know whose side you're on in history? Get a copy of Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. That's Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality at GenerationsWithVision.com.
Filmmakers celebrate 30 years in the Christian film industry. I'm Adam McManus here for Kevin Swanson on Generations Radio, found on the website generationswithvision.com. My guest by telephone line from California is Rich Cristiano, a good friend, producer, director, and writer of Christian movies and Christian entertainment since the 1970s with his brother Dave. 30 years in the making. Rich, are you earning every one of those gray hairs that are popping out of your head?
Yes, but it's been rewarding, as you know, as all ministry is. You know, our first film came out in 1985. We've really learned a lot from when we first started, and a lot of things have changed over the years, except the message. The message never changes, and that's always been our first commitment to every movie that my brother and I have ever made. But, you know, it's been an exciting 30 years, and we'll continue to keep going forward.
1977. You and your brother Dave, your twin brother, I might add, left your hometown of Waterloo, New York, drove out to Hollywood, California with high hopes and big dreams. Tell me about a high school script that you wrote called The Valedictorian and why ultimately, even though offered a contract, you never signed and the movie was never produced.
Right, and it's funny, this is a movie script that I think has lots of potential that we should make. The movie was a wholesome high school story. It was not Christian, but it was G-rated wholesome. In fact, we gave the script to one guy named Max Baer Jr. You remember him, Adam? Beverly Hillbillies?
I know the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know the name.
He played Jethro in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Fantastic.
Okay. Max Baer was doing movies, and he had just made a movie with Robbie Benson. And so we saw him on a talk show. I did, and I liked what he said, so we gave him the script. And amazingly, 30,000 scripts floating around in Hollywood, and he liked our script and wanted to buy it.
Wow.
And we negotiated 1 year with him, not over pay, but over content. Because even though we weren't Christians, this was a wholesome story, and he wanted to try to spice it up with stuff that we thought would ruin it, so we never signed the deal.
Well, good for you, and then, standing for your convictions.
Even though I wasn't a believer at the time.
So in 1979, your twin brother Dave was attending Arkansas State University. He met a girl, started dating her, and early on in the relationship, she asked him a very unusual question he had never heard before. He's, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life? He, your brother Dave, was clueless. He had no idea what she was talking about, and ultimately, she gave him a book entitled, So What's the Difference? A Look at 20 Worldviews, Faiths, and Religions, and How They Compare to Christianity, by Fritz Reidenauer. I'll tell you, that is a book, I don't know if it's still in print, I'd like to get my hands on.
So my brother prayed to receive Christ.
March of 79 at the age of 22.
And then he started talking to me about it. I was in California, and Dave was in Arkansas, and we went home for Christmas in upstate New York with our family. And I remember one night my brother getting so mad at me. Now, I was a little bigger than my brother and not afraid of him at all. But he literally pinned me up against the wall, pulled back his fist, and said, if you don't receive Christ in your life, you're going to hell.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Serious.
Really? Well, what is the movie? What is the movie on your conversion coming out? That's what I want to see.
New Wave Witnessing.
So sounds like something out of The Cross and the Switchblade.
Dave gave me that book, and I went and read the first two chapters, which deal with the Catholic faith. I was raised Roman Catholic, but it totally did nothing to me. Totally bounced off me.
Really?
Totally. Yeah, it didn't connect at all.
Like water off the back of a duck.
Yes. But when I went back to California, I had met a Christian guy who started talking to me. I was invited to go to Grace Community Church, John MacArthur. Now, a lot of people know who he is and have heard him.
Sure.
And so in 1980, it was the last week of April, this is the first non-Catholic church service I've ever walked into in my whole life. It's quite a few people there, 3,500 people.
A culture change, to be sure.
Yes, and totally different, 180 degrees from what I'm used to. You know, the guy's up there in a suit. He's not wearing the religious garments. And MacArthur's teaching out of the scripture, and at the end of the service, my friend said, what did you think? I said, it was okay, but I'm going back to my church next week. But I lied to him, because deep down, Adam, I was really impressed. I thought in my mind, that guy tried to help these people from the Bible. And I was, man, I can't believe he's trying to make the Bible practical and relevant.
Interesting. So your background then as a Catholic growing up, were you all observant Catholics? Were you Christmas and Easter Catholics? How serious
were you? I was an altar boy for 10 years, even through high school. My brother, too. I went to a Catholic college, St. John Fisher College. We were all in.
Oh, wow.
People would say, you guys should be priests, but we liked girls, and priests couldn't get married, so that killed that.
The Catholic Church needs to change that deal, don't they?
Yeah, they'll get some more people. I mean, we were squeaky clean type of guys, and those are harder guys to reach, you know, because like, wait, I believe in God, I'm living a good life, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah, what do I need your Protestant Jesus for?
Right. This was a big thing, and then May 3rd, 1980, I was in my apartment. I was really troubled. This Christianity thing was really troubling my mind. I'd been asking a lot of questions, and literally, my sinner's prayer by myself was I literally yelled out, Lord, show me your truth.
Huh.
And it's like the light bulb went on and the scales fell off my eyes. And I remember the next day, instead of going back to the Catholic Church, I went back to Grace Church, and I sat in the fourth row. And MacArthur was preaching again. I remember he was preaching Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And Adam, I couldn't write it down fast enough. I was taking notes, and I literally couldn't write it fast enough.
You were like a dry sponge.
It was like the light had been turned on. And, you know, thankfully, God led us to a great Bible teacher. And my brother and I have probably listened to 1,000 MacArthur sermons in our life. And not only that, but led us to read some good books like by Spurgeon and Arthur Pink and guys like that, if you know who those guys
sure.
are. And built a great foundation of truth in us. It would enable us, as we do our films and write our scripts, to try to put forth real truth through films, you know, because our desires didn't change. You know, lots of people think they become a Christian, you got to go to Africa to serve the Lord. But we wanted to make movies, and the Lord gently spoke to us, okay, make them for me. That took a little while to get through to us, but that's what he wanted.
I'm curious, how did your twin brother, Dave Cristiano, react to your conversion, since it happened on perhaps a delayed time frame than he had hoped? And what did he say?
My brother remembers on the afternoon of May 3rd, I gave him a call, and he answered the phone, and I said, Dave, I'm born again.
Really?
And he couldn't believe it. And then it's funny, a month later, I spent 40 days in Arkansas, where my brother was, in the summer of 1980. I was there 40 days, and 35 of them, the temperature was 100 degrees or more.
And sounds like San Antonio.
And I brought all my MacArthur tapes and Bible, and my brother couldn't believe it. In fact, I remember we would sit there together and play MacArthur sermons on the little cassette tapes, and we'd both be taking notes, and we'd be stopping them, saying, no, stop, I didn't get that written down. And
wow.
Just listening together and just learning like two little kids in a candy store.
Sounds like your sanctification was on overdrive.
Yeah, it started.
That's fantastic. So, my guest is Rich Cristiano. He is producer, director, and writer. You can take advantage of their 30th anniversary sale at christianmovies.com, $69 for all 13 of their movies. That's about $5 and change for each movie. It's a great deal. We'll talk about some of the specific movies they've put together and produced in the course of our conversation. I'm Adam McManus. You're listening to Generations Radio here on GenerationsWithVision.com, sitting in for Kevin Swanson, who's on sabbatical until late January. Stick around, because when we return, we'll delve into some of the movies that Dave and Rich Cristiano, twin brothers, both who came to faith in Jesus Christ in 1979 and 1980, respectively, what they produced for the Lord and what impact it has had. I'm Adam McManus. Learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net, MCManus.net. Send me an email about this particular podcast, talkradioadam@gmail.com. Talkradioadam@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, who's on sabbatical until late January. Very special guest, Rich Cristiano, joins us, producer, director, and writer. He has been producing Christian movies since the 1980s with his twin brother, Dave. In fact, on this, their 30th anniversary in the world of Christian movies, they're offering all 13 of their movies for just $69 at the website ChristianMovies.com. ChristianMovies.com. I was intrigued to learn that at the age of 28, in the summer of 1985, your brother Dave produced his first film called The Daylight Zone, a takeoff of the old TV series The Twilight Zone, kind of a Christian version, as it were.
Because originally what we were going to do is we were thinking about doing a series of these, and they were short. It was 25 minutes. In fact, the first 5 days we shot, my brother, who had learned to run the camera using film books and how to light, the first 5 days we had to scrap because when the footage came back, my brother made a mistake on a camera setting and it was nothing.
Wow.
So that was demoralizing.
And that was filmed right here in San Antonio, interestingly.
Yes, out in Bernie, because it takes place out kind of on a farm. It was a real experience shooting that film. I mean, we had no real experience in filmmaking. We were writers.
What was the plot?
It's about a guy who, he's driving home and he goes to a little, the guy's selling like hot dogs. And while he's there, he sees these three people over, and they had a Bible track. So the guy walks over and makes fun of the three people, and they kind of share Christ with him, and he just makes fun of them. And when he gets in his truck, he starts driving home, and he has to take a detour. And when he takes a detour, he now starts meeting people on their way to the crucifixion. So unbeknownst, he's kind of like gone back in time, and he just thinks these people are dressing up in costumes, and what's the big deal here?
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up getting put in a little prison, and you got to kind of watch it to see how it works. But it's a good little script. I thought my brother wrote the script, did a good little script. And I think we pulled it off okay. I mean, it was a learning experience for us to shoot our first film. It was a 25-minute movie called The Daylight Zone.
Then in 1987, Dave wrote and directed a second film, a 39-minute youth film called The Pretender, which you all filmed together in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Tell me about The Pretender and what impact it had in youth groups in particular across America.
This movie was a huge hit for us. It's about a guy, a worldly guy, who pretends to be a Christian so he can start dating an unsuspecting Christian girl.
Oh, boy.
After we did The Daylight Zone, we realized, because at this time it was strictly a church rental market, there were no VHS being sold, there were no DVDs, you just rented movies to churches on 16 millimeters, and the youth guys were really looking for films. And so The Pretender did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showings for us. This was a huge hit for us.
So how much would a church typically rent a film for?
This film rented for $49. And the Christian film library that you would work with would get part of it, actually rented for $48. So we would get normally $32, and the Christian film library that rented it would get $16. So you got to do a lot of rentals to be able to pay these movies off, and even though we're not doing huge budget films.
What was the budget then for The Pretender itself? The
budget on The Pretender, I think, was like $35,000.
Mm. And how did you come up with that money? That early on.
I had done a little business in Jonesboro where we were selling local ads on ESPN and CNN. That started in 1985, and we got the contract there to do it. So the money we generated from selling those ads, we used to pay for The Daylight Zone, which was a $15,000 budget. Then all the money that came in from The Daylight Zone, we put towards the next film. We didn't take, we just put it in an account to put towards the next movie and kind of built that way.
Wow.
We funded our first 8 movies. They were all lower budget films. Of, you know, the biggest budget I think anyone was like $50,000, and we funded them all.
In 1988, you and your brother Dave Cristiano produced a third film, Crime of the Age, an original story and screenplay that you put together. Interestingly, 6 suspects, each one seeing another person as a suspect. No one knows how it's going to end. It's a big suspense, but not a whole lot of time to do it. How do you juggle the writing of conversations with 6 suspects in a 32-minute comedy mystery,
yep,
like Crime of the
Age? I mean, you got to watch this movie. It's a funny movie, and the only clue, you forgot one point, the only clue is a broken carrot. It's kind of a comedy where this detective comes in, somebody at the camp stole the How to Become a Christian book. And the director of the camp says there's only 6 people at the camp, the 6 people that work here. So maybe one of them's not a Christian. This is terrible. The campers are coming here in 2 days. This is a horrible crime. So the detective goes around and talks to all 6 workers, and all 6 of them are potential suspects. He finds, like, for example, the first guy doesn't think it's important to read the Bible. And so the detective says, that's interesting, a Christian that doesn't read the Bible. The next worker doesn't think it's important to pray. One worker doesn't think it's important to go to church. And every time the detective is kind of ending the conversation, that's interesting, a Christian doesn't think it's important to go to church, like that. So that was part of the point of the movie, you know, the important elements of the Christian life, dealing with sin, going to church, pray, witnessing, reading your Bible, stuff like that.
Sure.
It's a campy little film. Now, the first 3 movies, my brother directed them all.
Right.
And so I said, Dave, I want to direct some movies too. So we decided, in fact, we decided before we shot the third film that we were going to split our company into 2. Because each guy wanted to do his own productions, and then we were going to consult on the script.
So in 1990, you started shooting The Appointment, a film that you wrote, produced, and directed. 39-minute suspenseful evangelistic drama. Tell me about The Appointment.
Okay, The Appointment was originally an idea for our Daylight Zone series. We decided not to do the series, so I liked the idea. And basically, it's about a girl who's writing a series of anti-God editorials in her newspaper, just making fun of God.
Mm.
And so one day, a mysterious visitor comes into her office. You never see the guy. You just hear his voice. And he's very non-threatening, but he says, I have a message for you from the Lord. The writer's name is Liz Watson. He says, Liz, in 8 days, on September 19th at 6:05 p.m., you're going to die. You need to get ready. And he leaves.
Wow.
And the girl thinks he's a joke. Well, the next day, the mysterious guy walks in again and just says the same thing. In 7 days, at 6:05 p.m. on September 19th, you're going to die. And so then he leaves. You never hear from the guy again. But what things start happening around her that shows her how death can come so suddenly, wherever. And she gets more and more paranoid, so it becomes a suspense film. The movie's going to go all the way up till September 19th, 6:05 p.m., what's going to happen to Liz Watson? That's what you got to see. This has been a very strong evangelistic tool for us. We've had a lot of churches show this movie and give invitations. It's funny, Adam, as I think back of all the movies that I have ever been involved in, never prayed harder for a project more than that movie, The Appointment. And this movie, the Lord seems to have really used. I'll just tell you one interesting story with that film. We made a deal with a guy in Switzerland where basically the guy in Switzerland, our distributor, buys a 16-millimeter print from you, and then he has to get it subtitled. And I remember that this was back in 1991. I was kind of down a little bit. I'm saying, Lord, you know, the people don't care about these Christian films, because my brother and I love the Christian movies, and we're very passionate about it. We want the Christians to be passionate about them also. And the Lord knew I needed a little pick-me-up. And I walked in my office one morning, and I got a fax, and it was from this guy in Switzerland. In fact, it was kind of such an interesting fax, I picked up the phone and gave him a call. And what he said to me, he goes, Rich, I got to tell you something. We had a very interesting experiment with The Appointment. We work with this secular company to subtitle all of our films. They probably have done 100 films from us. They have never said a word to us about any of our films. But when they subtitled your movie, The Appointment, the girl that was doing the subtitling called our office because the movie made her think. And our guy talked to her about the Lord for 45 minutes.
Wow.
I just thought that this would encourage you. The timing of that was incredible, Adam, and it's like the Lord says, Rich, don't ever doubt what you're doing. You just do films for me. I'll use them. Just keep going forward. Never looked back since then. I saved that fax forever until it became a blank sheet of paper, right, because the fax wears out.
Exactly.
That was my Oscar as far as I was concerned.
That's
that
fantastic.
Fax that guy sent.
Rich Cristiano, my guest, if you'd like to get all 13 of their movies for just $69 on their 30th anniversary sale, go to the website christianmovies.com. That's christianmovies.com. All 13 of their movies for just $69. It's $5 and change, and it includes The Appointment, Crime of the Age, The Pretender, The Daylight Zone, and some of the others we're about to reference. Now, you did a follow-up to The Pretender called The Pretender Strikes Again and a second episode of The Daylight Zone entitled Kingdom Vision. But after 9 days of filming, you concluded with your brother Dave Cristiano that the quality of work was not good, not where it needed to be. You stopped both films and never completed them. Why?
That was my brother. That was Dave. I was not in on that. That was Dave, and there was a technical issue. I don't know. He got frustrated and decided not to do either project, which is amazing because they were decent scripts.
All right. Then in 1991, Dave regrouped, started working on his 57-minute drama, Pamela's Prayer, filmed in Colorado, which took 7 years to complete. Tell me about Pamela's Prayer.
Dave shot this movie almost by himself with, like, no crew. And what it is, it took him about a year to shoot the movie. There's over 50 shooting days on there, and he had to have weather. Like, he had to have scenes that showed snow, and he had to have scenes that showed beautiful summer. So that was part of his issue. And then for some reason, in the editing process, Dave took forever to edit this movie, and he did not get it together until it came out in 1998.
Pamela's Prayer portrays the unique story of Pamela Buckland from her birth in 1969 to her wedding day in 1991. All of her friends were dating. Pamela was not. And it seemed unfair that her father insisted on such a high standard of purity. It might have seemed unfair until the day she married. You'll cry tears of joy at the end of this one, for sure. Pamela's Prayer.
But prior to that, in 1993, I released a movie called Second Glance with David White. People know David A.R. White. This is kind of like his first movie.
What does the AR even stand for? I see it all the time in all these Christian movies. Do we
Andrew
know?
Andrew Roy.
Who what has two middle names anyway?
There was another David White.
Oh, okay.
So David B. in Hollywood. Hi, Dave. Throws in this AR thing, you know. But
all
I really
right.
like Dave White. He was a blast to work with, and he was terrific in the lead. I always tell him it's the best thing he's ever done, Second Glance. He's terrific in this movie.
What's the basis of the plot?
The basic of the movie is a Christian guy who doesn't think he's influencing anybody from the Lord. And he just thinks he's missing out on all the worldly fun. You know, the guys kind of make fun of him at school. So just one night out of frustration, under his breath says, I wish I never became a Christian.
Ooh.
And the next day when he gets up, now he gets his wish. And everything
wow.
is, yes, everything, we're thinking.
I love it. This is like a reverse, It's a Wonderful Life,
yes,
but a Christian version of it.
Yes, and we're thinking about doing this as a feature. Seriously, we are.
What a great idea. Where did you come up with this idea from? It's a Wonderful Life?
There's a friend of mine named Danny Corrales and two other guys had written the script. And so they sent it to me, but their script did not, they were at one time going to shoot this movie, but they didn't have a very strong Christian message in there like I would have wanted. So I made a deal with them and bought the script from them and then reworked the script, put in the message that I wanted to put in there. When this guy wakes up, his life now is totally different because his own Christian influence has been pulled out. For example, he had a 10-year-old kid sister who now doesn't exist. And an angel appears to him, and the angel says, yeah, that's right, because you weren't here to pray for your parents when they were going through the tough times in his divorce, so she was never born. And it's like a snowball. So at the end of this movie, the guy now is more motivated to live for the Lord than ever because he realizes he's being used. So this movie is meant to be a real encouragement, especially for teenagers. You know, look at all the peer pressure that people...
Well, you know, it also makes me think of A Christmas Carol and the three ghosts that visit him.
Yes.
During the 1990s, the whole Christian film industry changed in that films were no longer released on 16mm, but rather came out straight to video. How did that impact your world?
Well, it did because the Christian film libraries, as they were called, that we were working with, for example, there'd be a guy in Birmingham and there'd be a library in Atlanta, these people in Houston or whatever, and they were mailing out to churches in their areas, thousands of churches, and they would rent the films to the churches and then they would pay you. So we only had to deal with like 40 or 50 Christian film libraries around the country. All these people went out of business. They all closed down. So now my brother and I were forced to go into distribution. I remember after I shot Second Glance, I knew it'd be a while before I would shoot another film because we've got to figure out a distribution plan here. How are we going to distribute these products? And then that's when the internet started coming along as we started renting movies to churches on VHS. The churches would pay high-priced rental just to watch the movie on VHS. And in fact, church rental has come back. Now you've got our films and other films renting for $100, as much as $200 to churches, and it's much needed revenue for the Christian film guys. I mean, it's hard to shoot these movies.
You teamed up in 1998 with David White again for a 54-minute drama called End of the Harvest, a college-based film. What was the story?
It's about a guy who ends up making a presentation at an atheist meeting at his college campus about when the world might end. This movie, I think, has done really well for us. It's a thought-provoking film about end times. I wanted to throw my hat into the end times ring, and I tried to come up with a movie that I could realistically shoot. And so this movie talks about end times, after the rapture, all that stuff. But it's a guy just making a presentation. Now, there's a storyline to it. There's more to it than that. And Dave White is excellent in this movie as the lead. Kevin Downs is also in this movie. Brad Heller's in this movie. They've been in several Christian films. That was a fun group to work with, too. So we shot that at Arkansas State University. And I'm very happy with that script. That was a hard shoot. All these movies have been hard, especially the early ones, because you had no crew. I shot that movie with a professional filmmaker at L.A. and six students from Arkansas State University. That was our crew.
Wow.
In shooting this movie. And yet you're trying to achieve something good, you know, with good talent and good music and all this stuff. I mean, it's a real challenge.
I'm Adam McManus here on Generations Radio, in for Kevin Swanson. You can purchase all 13 of the Rich and Dave Cristiano movies for just $69 on this, their 30th anniversary in the world of Christian film production. That's $5 and change per movie. The website, ChristianMovies.com, ChristianMovies.com. Then in February of 2000, your brother Dave started work on Late One Night, his fifth movie. What was that particular film about, based in North Carolina?
It's a Christian guy who walks into a diner late one night, and these three guys are there, and one of the guys heckles the Christian guy, just gives him a hard time. And it's a masterful conversation these two guys have. The Christian has a terrific attitude, and there's a real act of love he shows them at the end of the film. And for a 33-minute film, I always say this movie has as much truth in it as any movie ever made. My brother did a fantastic job writing this script. And there's two great actors, Josh Gafka and Brad Heller. Brad Heller plays the antagonist. Josh Gafka plays the Christian. And they're really good in it. And this is a solid movie that's been really used.
Hugh MacLean also was a star in that.
Yes, Hugh MacLean, who has gone to be with the Lord, who is a great guy and good friend. He's also in the movie, and he's a very strong actor. So it's a good cast between those three guys.
Was he the cook?
He was the cook, yes.
I'm seeing the cover of the DVD. He's in an apron. That was my guess. I haven't seen it.
Yes, he's the cook.
Then we come to a film that I've seen, and I absolutely love. This is one of my favorite films that you have put together, and one of my favorite films of all time, Time Changer. Came out in October of 2001. It was your first feature-length movie that you wrote and directed, starring Gavin McLeod of Love Boat fame. Tell me about the concept of Time Changer.
obviously this was a big step up for us. I almost shot Time Changer as a 60-minute movie in 1993. After I shot the movie Second Glance, I wanted to do this movie. Well, we were going to do it as a short, but when the Christian film industry was going through the distribution issues because the library's going out of business, we just shelved this movie. And then I'd always liked time travel movies, probably influenced by the Back to the Futures and stuff like that. I said, man, I'd love to do a Christian time travel movie. And this was the first movie I did with a real crew. I mean, this was a Hollywood production with really talented people. And I'll just tell you one quick thing. All the movies I'd ever done before them, we never had a video tap. And what a video tap is normally when you're shooting the movie, you could watch a little monitor to see what you're getting. Well, we never had that with The Appointment, Second Glance, Into the Harvest. You would just stand next to the cameraman so you could see off to the side to see what the actor was doing. Well, this is the first movie I ever had a video tap, which is really a luxury for me. And I remember the very first scene we shot a Time Changer, after the very first setup, said, okay, good, let's move to the next setup. I got up to move the video tap, and then a production assistant says, what are you doing? I'll do this for you. And I thought, okay, fine, move it. And it's like, Adam, I thought, what, Steven Spielberg, how hard can this be? All you got to do is sit here, and these people are going to set up. I couldn't believe it, because normally I'm moving equipment all over the place, right? And as the director, you didn't have to do that. I had never been around a big crew. And the only advantage I had in anybody there, because I was at a disadvantage, I'm like a fish out of water. Here I'm dealing with these Hollywood actors, Gavin McLeod, Hal Linden, Paul Rodriguez, Jennifer O'Neill, Richard Reilly. These guys have done lots of films. And they're working with this director. They don't know who this guy is. But the one thing that I had was this, Adam. I knew my script. And I knew what I wanted to do with that script. And I feel like I got a respect from the actors because they knew I knew the script and how the line should go. And I got along great with the talent. That was really a good shoot. Kevin and Bobby Downs and Jeff Ludlow were three guys that produced the movie with me. And they took care of all that so I could really have the luxury of just directing the film and not have to worry about all the other particulars that go with it. So of all the movies that I've done, that's probably been the easiest only because of the crew that we had.
Be more specific, if you would, about the plot of Time Changer. What is the present point in time, and then where do they go travel-wise?
It's about a Bible professor from 1890 who writes a manuscript, Russell Carlyle, played by D. David Morin. And Gavin McLeod's character has a problem with something that Russell Carlyle has written. Russell Carlyle has made a statement, I think we can use good morals to attract people to Jesus.
Sounds like a lot of the seeker-sensitive churches today.
And the Gavin McLeod character says, I think this is deadly. And what it is, Gavin's character has built a time machine, and he sends Russell Carlyle over 100 years into the future to show him where the leading of good morals alone will lead to. What the enemy has done, and I don't think people realize this, the enemy is not against good morals. He's against Jesus. And the idea to remove the authority of Jesus out of life, and Jesus is out of our government, he's out of our schools, heck, he's out of most of our churches. And that's been the attack here in America. I think this movie has a vital message for the church. It still rents the churches after all these years. The movie came out in 2002 in theaters, got released on DVD in 2003. Still a good seller for us. I mean, it's a timeless movie, really, because of the time travel element. It's been a real blessing. Hopefully people take that movie seriously, and it really put us on the map when it came to our productions, too, because it was such a leap in production quality, because you had real talent and real crew. I mean, we worked hard in every film we've ever done and poured our heart and soul into it. But Time Changer was just a jump ahead, there's no doubt.
You put together a new distribution company called 5 & 2 Pictures. How did you come up with the name?
We were trying to come up with a name that would have a subtle Christian message to it. Even though our films are overtly Christian, we wanted something that had a little thinking behind it. And you remember when the little kid gives Jesus 5 loaves
sure.
and 2 fish?
Yes.
And it's like, okay, Lord, we're small, multiply us. So 5 & 2 Pictures is based on the loaves and fish. We're small, but multiply us.
But there's nothing visually in your logo that indicates anything about the loaves and the fish.
No, because I didn't want to totally give it away
like
that. And some people, but Adam, some people have figured out, the true Christians figured out, I'm just kidding. Some people have figured it out.
That's fantastic. Well, I was thinking maybe 5 & 2. It's the whole number, biblical whole number. All right, so in 2004, your brother Dave turned his attention to television, started working on a project called 7th Street Theater, producing 3 seasons, 64 episodes for TBN. It was the first ever primetime Christian dramatic TV series. How was it received, and what was the basic plot?
First of all, Brother's done an excellent job on this. It's about these five Christians that put on a weekly show at a theater, a Christian theater. It's like you go on Friday and Saturday night, they do little skits, kind of like a Christian Saturday Night Live without the comedy. And the episodes are about the characters putting the shows together. So as you watch 7th Street Theater, you get to like the characters, just like you would in any series. And, you know, we just felt like this is something we always wanted to do, and my brother finally did it, to do a weekly show that Christians could watch with their families. Sadly, the Christian networks don't want to really air it because they want to air the preach and teach, or they want to charge you. Here, he spent a lot of money to produce this, then a lot of the Christian TV stations want to charge him for airtime to get it on the air. Now, he's had it on a number of the networks. He's been on, like, maybe 10 different Christian networks. And it's been a challenge, you know. But we have convictions when it comes to these things, and I just feel like Christians should watch Christian movies and Christian programming. If they did, the Christian movie industry should be doing a lot better. But sadly, the Christians go watch everything else that Hollywood throws down, and that's why we got all these issues in people's lives, but that's a whole other story.
In June of 2006, Dave wrote his first feature-length movie, a love story, entitled Me and You, Us Forever, based on a true story about a 47-year-old man on the other side of an unwanted divorce who reminisced about his lost first love of 30 years ago. How was that received in 83 theaters in 2008?
Well, I think it's been received okay, you know, especially people that have gone through a divorce and have walked that path. And this was a film that my brother wanted to make, another one of his little pet projects that he wanted to do. And, you know, I think that it's had a ministry, especially like with divorce recovery, because sadly, divorce is all around us. So this movie was kind of aimed at, normally when people get divorced, what's the first thing they do? They think back to high school, man, when I dated that girl, things were great. And they go after her normally, you know, and that's what this guy did. He went after the girl that he first dated, and he was kind of like his first love. So I think it deals a lot of those, and it has a really good ending. It has the right ending, let's put it that way.
I think personally, The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, which began in the summer of 2007 and was released in theaters September of 2009, should have won the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival, but that'll have to be a conversation for a different day. This was absolutely brilliant. A 75-year-old man played by Gavin McLeod, and how he ultimately influenced and discipled three 12-year-old boys for the Lord. It was just a wonderfully presented, feel-good movie that encouraged all of us to do more about reaching out to those in our immediate world.
Right. Thanks, Adam. This was a real labor of love. We shot this in upstate New York where I grew up, and it was just sentimental for me to go back to upstate New York to shoot a movie for the Lord, because obviously if anybody that's been up there, if you swap out the clothes and the cars, you step back in time. And this is a period piece, takes place in 1970, about a simple 75-year-old man. But by using his wisdom, that's really the secrets of Jonathan Sperry, could have been called the wisdom of Jonathan Sperry, because they deal with a harmless little bully. And there's just things that Jonathan Sperry shares with these three 12-year-old boys. Like the tagline is this, what he teaches them will last forever. And we wanted to make a film that would do a couple things. First of all, motivate senior saints. I think the most valuable saints in the church are the senior saints, and we're not utilizing their wisdom. We're not utilizing the life experiences that they've had. Also, the big surprise from this movie, we've received so many emails from parents that said, my 8-year-old watched your movie. He went and he started reading the Gospel of John. There's a small emphasis in this movie to encourage people to read the Gospel of John, and I've been amazed at all the 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds, boys and girls, that have picked up on that. And they would go and start reading the Bible. And, you know, think about that. You get a kid reading the Bible, you got him in a perfect place. So the Lord has used this movie, and he continues to. I mean, the good thing about these movies is they're timeless because of the messages. They can go on and on. What's hurt us, Adam, over the years, we just have not had big promotion behind our films. We just have not had the millions of dollars or so out there to really make the big, big splash. We've kind of done it slow and sure, but that's been okay. You know, the Lord's blessed us, and we continue to fight on. But the Sperry movie's just been a labor of love. And Gavin McLeod, who's a wonderful man, I mean, he just wrote his autobiography that came out. The whole last chapter's on the Sperry movie. He just says, look, this is the most important thing and most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Really?
And yes, absolutely. And he, Gavin, bless his heart, is 83 right now. He's still going strong, and he sees this movie as his ministry. In fact, something very interesting, Gavin, who still hobnobs with some name people that you would know, that we would know, he has copies of the Sperry movie, and he says, here. And he hands it out to all his former stars that he would work with. He sees this movie as his ministry. He really does. He wants to be like Sperry. He's becoming more and more like the Sperry character. Gavin would tell you this, nothing against the Love Boat and all that stuff. Obviously, he made money. But
Mary Tyler Moore, by the way, too.
In McHale's Navy, right? All the movies. But none of that impacts anybody for Christ. And he says, look, we're ambassadors for Christ. That's our job. And that's what he likes about the Sperry movies. The little engine that could, he calls it. What we try to do with that film is bring people back to the 1970 world. It's a slower pace. It's a simple world where there's no cell phones and none of that stuff, no computers. It's almost like it was better back then because you didn't have all the distractions we have today. It's really difficult today with all the distractions. It's a real challenge for the younger generation, I think.
Now, in your biographical overview of your 30 years of ministry that people can find at ChristianMovies.com, you note that this was a difficult project, but a labor of love. Why was it difficult?
In shooting in upstate New York, the weather was a big issue. We were dodging raindrops left and right. That was a real challenge. Also, whenever you work with kids, and I love those kid actors, but when you work with kids, when you work with 12-year-olds, let me just tell you what a 12-year-old loves to do. He loves to go to the makeup chair, and he loves to talk to the wardrobe guy, but when it's time to get him to shoot, well, you know, not so excited to go do that, believe it or not. And after they work 3 or 4 hours, they're ready to go start playing football. And they're not used to a 10-hour day they're fixing to go through, you know, and you got to school them on the set. So there's a lot of factors that people don't realize you're dealing with.
Sure.
You can shoot with older actors, like Gavin was 76 when we shot that movie. Robert Guillaume is in this film. He was 79 and kind of an invalid because he can't walk real well. So when you deal with older actors, I mean, you know, they're not as young as they used to be, and those lines don't come as quickly as you want them to come. So there are challenges in shooting these movies.
$69 for all 13 movies produced by Dave and Rich Cristiano. Just $5 and change for each movie. You can get that at ChristianMovies.com, ChristianMovies.com. This concludes part one of my two-part conversation with Rich Cristiano, Christian producer, director, and writer. We will talk to him again next Tuesday about the remaining movies that we haven't yet covered from their portfolio and what he thinks about the Christian movie industry, as well as his genuine concern about the sanctification, or lack thereof, of the body of Christ in America. So don't miss that podcast right here at generationswithvision.com this coming Tuesday, January 13th. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, on this edition of Generations Radio. Learn more about me at my website, adammcmanus.net. MCMANUS.net, and send me an email with your feedback about this particular podcast, Rich Cristiano's Look Back on a Lifetime of Christian Movie Making. Send that email to talkradioadam@gmail.com. talkradioadam@gmail.com.